Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
He rose today. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to have all of you here. My name is Daniel. If this is your first time coming to The Rocks, you are a very special guest. And let me include myself and my family in saying to you, Happy Easter. And I know that you are in the right place this morning by being here. No matter what reason you're here, maybe you were dragged by a friend, but whoever you are, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are welcome to join here with us, and you are at the right place, as I said before. Our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. We believe there's nobody perfect, and we gather here every Sunday because we believe we need God's grace, we need His forgiveness, and that grace and forgiveness has been made available to us 2,000 years ago on the cross, all right? Now, before we begin today, I want to say a short prayer because I believe God led you to this place. And I know as you open your heart this morning to hear what God has to say to you, your life is going to change, your life is going to be different. Because when God's word is being spoken, you know, no one can remain the same. So I want to lead us in a word of prayer one more time. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for leading us to this place. God, we know there's no such thing as a coincidence in your vocabulary. So this morning as we are here, I pray that you just help us to open our hearts so that we are ready to listen to what you have to say to us. Lord, we need you. We need to listen to your word. Thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. You know, there's a wonderful word in the English language for when you are dumbstruck, when you don't have the right word to say because there's just no right word to say to express how you feel at that particular moment. And that awesome word is the word wow. The word wow. For example, when you see a beautiful scenery like this, how many of you know where this place is? What is this place? This is Lake Louis. This is in Canada. The homeland of John's motherland, and it's a beautiful place. My wife has actually stayed in that hotel before, and she told me it was amazing, and I believed her. How about this one? How many of you know what this one is? This is the Great Wall of China. Apparently, you can go to space, and you can actually see this man-made building called the Great Wall of China. You see places like Lake Louis, the Great Wall of China, there's really nothing else to say except for you to say, wow, wow, that's just incredible. But maybe you're like me, you're not much into scenery. Maybe this will make you say, wow, a juicy piece of steak, wow. Give me steak any day. I'm a meat man. Now, the truth is this, that life is filled with a lot of wow moments, isn't it? Life is filled with wow moments. When I learn how to drive the first time, wow. When I meet this gorgeous, beautiful lady who could play the piano, her name is Hulda, wow. When she says yes, wow, wow, amazing. And when I hold Jaden, my son, for the very first time after 10 years of marriage, I say to myself, wow, wow, it's amazing, isn't it? Now I want to tell you the most amazing wow of all. Imagine you lived 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. You heard him taught. No one has ever taught like him. You watch how he lived. No one lived like that. You watch how he loved people. No one ever loved people the way he did. So you decided to leave everything behind in order to follow him. You left your family, you left your job, you left your career in order to follow this man because you believe this man was different, this man was special. Not only you believe that this man could change your life, you believe this man could change the world. So you left everything to follow this guy. And for a moment, you had an amazing adventure with Jesus. You've never seen so many miracles in your life before. You have never been so empowered in your life before. You never had the sense of purpose before in your life. So it was an amazing adventure. Then one Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Everybody cheered. Everybody wanted him to be a king. But Jesus wouldn't want to be that kind of a king. And then things went south really, really quickly. Before you know it, on Friday, we call it Good Friday, the man that you had given up everything to follow, that man died on the cross. He didn't just die any death. He died the worst kind of death. He died the criminal's death, the most shameful form of penalty you can imagine, crucifixion. So, naturally, you were devastated. Naturally, you were disappointed. You were in deep, deep despair because how could it be? You know, things were going to be different. He was the long-awaited Messiah. He was going to change the world. How could it be? You couldn't believe your eyes. You couldn't believe it. You were in so much despair. You didn't know what to do with your life. But on that Sunday, you decided to go to the tomb because you didn't know what to do. And you were confused because the stone had been rolled away. The guards left. There was nobody. And then there was a person, there was an angel who told you, Jesus Christ, he's not here. He is risen just as he said he would. Now, how would you respond to that? There's a tradition, there's a liturgy among the Christian circles where someone like me would get up to the stage like this and say this statement, Jesus Christ is risen. And you, the congregation, would respond by saying, he is risen indeed. That's right. In some circle, we do that as a liturgy. But if you had lived 2,000 years ago and if you had witnessed that first Resurrection Sunday, I don't think your response was going to be that sophisticated. I mean, because finally it dawned on you. That's right. I just didn't figure it out. Jesus did say he was going to die, but he was going to be raised to life on the third day. He did say that, but who paid attention to that, right? Nobody. Nobody had ever predicted his own death and then actually did it. Nobody had ever done that. So of course, you just brushed it off. But when the angel said what he said, it finally clicked. It finally dawned on you, my goodness. And at that very moment, your deep despair turned to an amazing delight. Your only response would be, wow. Wow. That is amazing. And you know what's even more amazing? Fast forward 2,000 years later. Here we are today. Today, this very day, all around the world, there are 2.3 billion people who are coming to church to worship Jesus for the fact that he was raised from the grave. 2.3 billion people. Wow. So this is what I'm going to do, all right? I thought it's great for us to do this liturgy. So I'm going to say, Jesus Christ is risen, but I don't want you to respond by saying, he is risen indeed. I just want you to say, wow. And I want you to mean it too, all right? You know why? Because it's very important. When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated sin. Not just any sin, he defeated your sin. When he rose from the dead, he defeated death. Not just any death, it's your death. How could you respond to something like that? So here we go. Are you ready? Jesus Christ is risen. Wow. Wow, that is right. That is the right response. That is amazing, right? Because this Jesus has promised you that he's going to look after you. This Jesus has promised that one day, God himself, no matter what injustice you experience in this world, no matter how tough this world is to you, Jesus promised the Heavenly Father himself will wipe away the tears from your eyes one day. Now, for some of you, maybe life may not be that wow for you right now. I mean, this is not the life that you planned. You felt and still feeling so defeated right now by life. And you're ready to call it quit. Maybe this is your last chance. Maybe you're giving God one last opportunity. God, you better do something. Otherwise, that's it for me. This is the end of life for me. I want to tell you, God loves you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. I want you to open your heart for the next 20 minutes as we, as I convince you. I want to convince you that God is not against you, that God is actually for you. All right? Some of you have been following Jesus Christ for a while now, and yet you can say that your life is not filled with that much wow anymore. The toys, the gadgets that you have, they don't bring you wow anymore. Your big house, your big boat, your big investment properties, they don't satisfy you anymore. And maybe you're wondering, how can I start having wow in my life again? God has something to say to you as well. So I believe God is here in our midst right now, and I want you to open your heart and pay attention to what He has to say. I want to invite all of us to take that journey to that very first Easter. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. This is what happened that first Easter Sunday, starting from verse 1. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Notice Mark mentioned three names as the first witnesses to that very first resurrection Sunday. And these were the names of women. Why is that important? It's important because if you make this story up, and a lot of people thought, man, the Easter story, the resurrection story is just made up, man, to fool you. Now, if Mark wanted to make up a story, right, to fool gullible people like us, he wouldn't use women as the first witnesses. You know why? Because even though women have equal rights today, but back in the days, women had no voice. They were not considered credible witnesses. So if you want to fool somebody, you would want to fool the correct way. So the question is, why did Mark mention Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome? There's only one possible explanation. They were actually really the first witnesses to the very first resurrection. Mark didn't try to butter it up. He didn't try to convince anybody. He just wrote what really, really happened. Do you know why? This is the second point I'm trying to make before we continue. Do you know why I believe the Bible so much? It's because the Bible is so very precise, you know. Mark didn't just say a few women showed up. He's talking about Mary Magdalene. Everybody knew Mary Magdalene. Everybody knew Mary, the mother of James. And everybody knew Salome, the wife of Zebedee, the mama of James and John. You know, everybody knew. Mark is saying, you know, if you don't believe my story, go and talk to them. They were still alive. You can go and ask them. That's why I really believe that the resurrection story is real, because of the eyewitnesses at the time. I told you last year, when Michael Jackson came to Perth in the 80s, my mom went to see Michael Jackson in concert. You don't tell mom Michael Jackson didn't exist. Mom will tell you, I was there at his concert. You know, he was there. Michael Jackson was alive. So, anyway, do you know why they came to the tomb that Sunday? When did Jesus die? Anybody know? When did Jesus die? Friday at 3 o'clock. Now, that's not much time before Sabbath would begin, right? And if you grew up in church, you know that the Jewish people, they don't do anything on the Sabbath. They're not allowed to do anything. So the embalming of Jesus' body must have been done hastily by men. And men never did things right anyway, right? So the women had to fix it. It was not an easy job. They have to unbalm Jesus' body, and they have to rebalm Jesus' body again after 2 days. Can you imagine? You know, in the Bible it says, when you are in the tomb for 2 days, your body stinketh. Your body stinketh. Now, who would do such a thing? Who would you do that for? Let me ask you, would you do that for your husband? I asked Huda this question, actually. Would you do it for me, baby? If they didn't balm my body correctly, would you fix it? Huda said, no. If they didn't do it properly, tough luck. I'm going to mourn for a little bit, but life goes on. Thanks, Hulda. So what made them do such a thing? Because of their love for Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry, continue. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other. You see, they didn't expect Jesus' body not to be there. They really expected Jesus to be there. Nobody came to the tomb and started the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, as if like, yes, he came out. No, nobody expected that. So they were like thinking, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Because we need to do this. Maybe we ask the guards for help or something. You know, they were like talking to each other. But when they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. They did not expect that at all. And apparently, that young man was an angel. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I know why you're here. Who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body." And my favorite verse, I think the most important verse in this whole story, is verse 7. A lot of people read this and then they just brush it aside. They just read it quick without realizing the importance of verse 7. Mark wrote, this is what the angel said. "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." Now, the curious thing is this. I don't know if you paid attention to this. The angel said, "Go and tell the disciples, including Peter." Now, wasn't Peter one of the disciples? Why did the angel said, "Go and tell the disciples, including Peter"? Let me tell you why, and this is the key to the whole story. This is so important. I want you to pay attention. That phrase, "go and tell Peter," is the message of Easter, which is the same as the message of the gospel. And the message of Easter is this: you can have a fresh start. You can have a fresh start. No matter who you are, you can have a fresh start. If anybody needed to hear the message of Easter, it was Peter. And Jesus knew it. Peter, of all the disciples, he needed to hear the message of Easter the most. Of all the apostles, the one who was the most devastated was Peter. Of all the disciples, of all the apostles, the one who needed the second chance the most was Peter. Of all the apostles, the one who needed to hear that Jesus was alive was Peter. You know why? You know Peter. You know his story, right? The fast-mouthed Peter, the talk first, think later Peter. Sometimes, you know, he got away with it. He did well. Like, for example, on one occasion, Jesus asked his apostles, "Who did man say that I am?" And then he asked the second question, who do you say I am? And then Peter was really quick. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "A+, Peter. Man did not reveal this to you, but God did. Amazing, Peter. Well done." And Peter was so happy. Maybe he taunted all the rest of the apostles. "Ha, ha, 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 I got it. If Peter had just stopped right there and shut his mouth, he would have done so good, right? No, but he had to open his mouth again. Jesus said, "You know, I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be raised to life on the third day." What did Peter say? "No way I'm going to let that happen. No way, not on my watch. These bozos might leave you, but not me. I'm going to stick by you like white on rice." That's an expression where I came from. "No way, Jesus. Not going to let that happen to you." And then Jesus said to Peter in a loving way, "Oh, Peter, Peter, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're going to betray me and you're going to know it." And then when it finally happened, this is what happened. Peter, when he was confronted three times, you know the man, you were with him, he began to call down curses. That's how much he denied Jesus. He began to call down curses and he swore. Can you imagine? He swore them. I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus, the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And wept bitterly. You know why he wept bitterly? Because I think he meant it. When Peter said, "I'm going to be with you, Jesus. I'm going to stick by you, Jesus," he meant it. And he was so disappointed with himself that he couldn't do it. He was not a coward. Remember when they were at the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter was the one who cut one of the ears of the servants of the high priest. Remember that? I believe he was aiming for the neck, but he missed and got the ear instead. That's my theory. So he was brave. But at that moment, when Jesus needed him the most, he failed Jesus. Can you imagine the disappointment that Peter had on himself? That's why the words of Jesus to the angel, "Go and tell the disciples, including Peter." You can almost sense love in what is being said. You can almost sense forgiveness. You can almost sense restoration. "Go and tell the disciples, including Peter." And guess what? After the resurrection, things changed for Peter. He preached with power, and 3,000 people got saved. Man, he did miracle after miracle. He was asked, you know, for a donation. He said, "No, man, gold and silver I don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." The whole city turned upside down. People came to Christ. That was the new Peter. You know, Christianity is not based on some teaching or some rabbi. I mean, Jesus' teaching was awesome, right? But there were many great teachings in this world. Jesus performed many miracles. It's wonderful. But a lot of people perform miracles in this world. You know what is the foundation of Christianity? It's not the teaching of Jesus. It's not the miracles of Jesus. The very foundation of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus. Because after that moment, the whole scene just changed. Christianity didn't start gradually. Christianity started suddenly. There was no Christianity on Saturday. Suddenly on Sunday, Christianity exists. Can you imagine that? And all the apostles, for me, the biggest evidence that the resurrection was real is because the life change that happened to all the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. One by one, they changed like 180 degrees since the resurrection. You know, I don't know what's going on with your life right now. Maybe you are disappointed in yourself. Maybe you said, "There's no hope for me anymore. I've done some terrible things." Let me tell you, you are not beyond hope. You're not beyond forgiveness. You are not beyond the love of God, right? God loves you so much. The reason why he came to this world in the first place was to die on that cross for you. And he proved who he said, you know, that he was really God, the creator of the universe, by defeating death, by being raised from death to life on the third day. But you know what? The biggest wow of your life has not yet come. This life in this world is just a drop of water in the infinite ocean, right? You know that, right? That your life is not just here and now, but there is eternity waiting for you. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity? It was a story of a little girl who came to her mom and asked, "Mom, didn't you say that from dust we came and to dust we will return?" And the mom said, "Yes, that is correct." And then this little girl said, "I looked down my bed. Somebody is either coming or going," she said. "You'll get it after this."
This is what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You are not beyond forgiveness. All of us are in the same boat. We are all sinners. That's why our slogan in this church is no perfect people allowed. That's the very reason why Jesus came, as I said before. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to reconnect with your Heavenly Father. Jesus has made that possible for you. Christianity is not about behaving correctly. Christianity is about believing in the right person, someone who loved you, someone who created you. All right? But there's one more wow. That is very, very important as well. There's one more wow. Especially if you've been following Christ for a long time. Do you know that God wants you to partner with him to offer Jesus' resurrection power for the people so that they too can experience God's love and forgiveness? Do you know that? Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Because God could have done everything by himself. He didn't really need us. He didn't need you. He didn't need me. He was the one who drew men to himself. That's what the Bible says. But in his divine wisdom, in his love, he invited you and he invited me to join him in this wonderful endeavor of knowing that your life has a meaning, has a purpose, can make a difference for eternity. How are you going to spend your life, your one life in this world? I read a story told by Pastor John Piper about these two ladies. It's an amazing story. Ruby Ellison and Laura Edwards had both been killed in Cameroon. Ruby was over 80, single all her life. She poured it out for one great thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the unreached, the poor, and the sick. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor, pushing 80 years old herself and serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. The brakes of their car failed. The car went over the cliff and they were both killed instantly. People listened to that story and said, wow, how tragic. What a tragedy. Two elderly ladies who could have retired in safety, they got killed in an accident just like that. How tragic. But for me, that is not tragedy. That is victory. For me, it's not a tragedy. It's glory. You know what is a tragedy? This is a tragedy. This is true. From Reader's Digest, February year 2000, page 98. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Apparently, they earned so much money they could afford to retire early. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on a 30-foot yacht playing softball and collecting shells. Is that life? That's the goal of your life? Young people, is that the goal of your life? That you work hard right now, earn a lot of money, and then you can save it for your retirement later? Is that how you're going to spend the one life that you have before you become accountable to your Creator God? What are you going to say in His presence? Look at my shells. They're wonderful. Come on, Christians. If you want wow in your life, you won't get wow from bigger cars. You won't get wow from bigger house. You won't get wow from newer, shinier gadgets. They may satisfy you for a while, but if you want real wow in your life, you're going to plug in with God's purpose for your life. That's what 2 Corinthians said. Paul said this: Christ's love controls us. Other translation says, Christ's love compels us. Like, I can't do anything but. Christ's love compels us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Do you know that you have died to your old life? That your life is not your own anymore. You have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. That is what following Christ is all about. I want to challenge you, Christians. Don't let this Easter pass you by without injecting some exciting new wow in your life. And you can only get it as you plug yourself in to the purposes of God for your life. Before we go, because you are a nice-looking bunch of people, I'm going to give you an extra wow. I was a pastor, a black African-American pastor. I can't remember when he lived, in the 50s or something, and he recorded this. There was a message that he preached. It was so powerful, and thank God it was recorded. It was toward the end of his sermon. And in this portion of the message, he just went off to explain who Jesus was for all of us. And that's a big wow. So enjoy it, and I'm going to come back and pray for us.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.
Why don't you bow your head? This is the most important part of our gathering here this morning. I want to give you an opportunity, as I said earlier, for you to reconnect with your Heavenly Father. Do you know He loves you so much? He loves you so much. Christianity is not about a religion. It's not about doing the right things, but it's about believing the right person. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, the best that God has in heaven, He gave him for you and for me, so that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. You know, to be a Christian means for you to just believe that what he said is true, that your sins can be forgiven. Jesus died for all of your sins. You just need to trust him that he could give you eternal life. In a moment, I'm going to pray. If you want to be included in that prayer, wherever you're seated right now, without anybody looking, why don't you just slip up your hand so that I can pray for you? If you want to be included in that prayer, can you just slip up your hands? I see one in the middle. Praise God. Amazing. The best decision you could ever make is to put your faith in the God who made you, the God who loved you, the God who sent his son to die for you. Anybody else? Here, on the right? I see one at the back there. Praise God. Anybody else? Don't let this moment pass you by. God is watching right now. And God couldn't wait for you to come home. This is why he sent his son to die. If you are the only person on earth, he would still send his son, Jesus, to die for you. Final call. Anybody else? Just slip up your hands. And after I see it, you can put it down. It's too dark there. Great. I may not see you. That's okay. But if you lift up your hands, or if you wanted to lift up your hand, but somehow you didn't, but you know you had to, you wanted to, why don't you pray this quick prayer with me? It's not a magical prayer, but if you mean what you say, God listens to what your heart is saying, and he's going to be true to his word. It's not my promise, it's God's promise. He's forgiven all your sins. He's going to give you eternal life as a free gift. No one can take that away from you. So why don't you pray this prayer? I want the Christians to repeat after me. Say it. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross. He paid for my sins. All of it. I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus is good for me. His righteousness is now mine. I am holy because he is holy. Thank you for saving me. By your grace, help me to follow you all the days of my life and proclaim your goodness to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.